in Light of the World. It's unique in a way to be talking about two different churches that you have influence in. And God's graciously put me in that position. And so I tell the same dumb jokes there that I tell here. And they like them. But there was one lady there. It's a retired grade school elementary teacher. And she bought me a little bookcase that had three of these books in for age-related third to fifth grade students. And I don't know if I take that as a compliment. But in this, there's humor that all of us, including me, can understand. And so I'm going to read a few of those, if you don't mind. And usually just a good laugh kind of helps me kind of get focused. And don't you know it's good to laugh in church? There's so much serious stuff going on out in the world, and it's good to come to a place. And again, like I said 2 weeks ago when I started teaching on faithfulness, I'm going to get you laughing because you don't need it. And anyhow, let me see. Where do I want to start? All right. What do you call an underwater spy? James Pond. That's funny. Yeah. Anybody ever watch a James Bond movie? Let me see your hands. The rest of you just don't get it. What do you get when you cross a computer in a lifeguard? A screensaver. What did Della wear? A New Jersey. What goes snap, crackle, squeak? Mice Krispies. Now there will be bright, brilliant people that will get this next one. What do you call a bear with no teeth? Yeah. It's just, Brian's over there. Just, Lord, let him say one that I know. Why do fish swim in salt water? Because pepper makes them sneeze. I didn't write these, I'm just reading them. What's black and white and makes a lot of noise? A zebra playing the drums. They get dumber. What do you get when you cross a chicken with a chihuahua? Poached eggs. What's the best way to catch a fish? Have someone throw it to you. I don't even think I should get my car and just drive east. I got just a couple more here, I think. Was that a painful O? Or what did the horse say when its food ran away? Hey! What do you call a flying ape? A hot air baboon. Why did the chicken cross the playground? To get to the other slide. What color socks do bears wear? They don't wear socks, they have bare feet. This may be is my favorite one of all, so I've saved it to the last. So please laugh, because if you don't, I've got a whole bunch marked back here. And they're marked for people who don't laugh. What's black and white, black and white, black and white, black and white? A panda bear rolling down a hill. Yeah, it's good, right? You can even remember those and tell them to your third grade teacher. And praise God. Well, again, it's good to have my son in the faith, Tim, in the house. Clap for Tim. Praise God. Praise God. Somebody asked me the other day, said, Pastor, you think our church is under attack? Just like any other church, all of them are being attacked. If you're mentioning the name Jesus, you can almost guarantee yourself that you have a target on you. Amen? Hallelujah. I was going to start with a different scripture, and you don't have this one, Kristen, back there, so don't worry about getting it. I'm just going to read it out of my Passion Bible. I think it's so important to remember that God speaks through people. And you've heard me share this often, and I'll share it again and again. When I saw in the Bible, literally saw in the Bible where God spoke through a donkey, I said, glory to God, there is hope for me. So if he can speak through a donkey, there's other words for that name, donkey. But if he can speak through a donkey, he can speak through a man or a woman. He can speak to a yielded vessel. Amen. And so I want you to understand, I have a complete awareness in me that I am not God. But I also have a complete awareness in me that I would sure like to be like him as much as possible. And many days I fall way short of being like him. But many days I just strive. And that means, doesn't necessarily mean we will ever arrive, because we won't. But we've been created in his image. And so we should do what we can to talk like him, act like him. And I've told stories. I hear people quite often, especially people that I used to golf a little bit. And when I say a little bit, even when I played, it was called a little bit of golf. But Seth is a good golfer, and he golfs with some of the best golfers in the community and holds his own. And some of those guys, when they're with him and they'll see me out in the street, say, I played golf with your son the other day. He is so much like you. And so I look Seth up and say, Seth, I'm sorry. But I think they mean the good looking part and the witty part. He definitely has a wit beyond mine. But it does a dad proud when he finds out his son, people are saying, your son reminds me of you. And that's because he's hung around me a little bit. And that always honors a dad, but it honors your Heavenly Father when you do what you can to act like him and to talk like him and to behave like him. Amen. And so I found a wonderful scripture. I say found, the Lord pointed it out to me this morning. And I'm sitting in my office, and the scripture I was going to start out with is out of Luke 16, beginning in verse 10. And I heard the Lord say, look up Luke 10, verse 16. He just switched those two numbers around. And so I looked up Luke chapter 10, verse 16 out of the Passion Translation, and it says this. Jesus concluded his instructions to the 70 with these words. He's getting ready to send them out to do the work of the ministry. And he instructed them before they took off with these words. He says, remember this. And I'm saying to you this morning, remember this. Whoever listens to your message is actually listening to me. Jesus is saying to them, whoever listens to the message that I'm sending you out with is listening to me as well. They're not just hearing you, Jesus says, but they're hearing me. And then he goes on to say, and anyone who rejects you is rejecting me. And not only me, but the one who sent me. So in very short order, Jesus is telling the 70, if you go out and minister what I tell you to minister, they will not just be hearing you, but they'll be hearing me. And in this day and age, most people say, well, who do you think? I've had people ask me, who do you think you are, God? You think you're God? And I said, no way do I think I'm God. But I do know I'm his child. I'm a son of his. I belong to his family. I came in through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. I've been bought and paid for. Amen. I've got an inheritance. And my inheritance is taking me to heaven. Man, this earth is not my home. I'm just passing through. When I walk through the pearly gates, it's going to be some kind of high-fiving. And he's not going to say to me, well, Wes, you're done. he's going to say to me, I'm believing by faith. And you got to understand I'm saying this by faith and not trying to be arrogant or proud with it. But he's going to look at me and says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter in to the joy of the Lord. Don't you know that would be a joyful moment? But the good news is, not only will we get that there, but we can get that on this side of heaven. Maybe not to the extent that you'll get it in heaven, because there will be absolutely no hindrances in heaven to keep you from enjoying the fullness of his joy. Here we have to fight for it. Because joy comes in the morning. Regardless of what you're going through right now, joy will come in the morning. And we just want that. We want the fullness of what God has for us. And when we begin to walk this life, live this life, we want to live in a way that's well-pleasing to God. And we won't live it perfectly. And let me just say this. You may, please don't go to this, because you're going to hear me say some things about how then should we live. And there is a way that we should live. Not all of us have gotten there, but bless God, if you have a heart for God, you're on your way there. Good time to say amen. You're on your way there. I'm soon to be 73. I feel, bless God, good. I'm going to do that when I'm 83, 93. 93 maybe. I feel good, bless God. No, I believe I'll be doing really well. Well, if you're going to live life, live it to the full. And believe God for it. All I'm saying is, in the body of Christ, there is so much more to be had in the body. And we're thankful for what we already have, what we received. By the way, Chris, I was just thinking before that song started that you say again. Thank you, by the way. I was just thinking, man, we need some more men singers. And then Chris started singing. I thought that was pretty cool. Two things. Number one, it meant he was a man. No confusion there. You know, you have to say that sometimes in church because people forget who they are. You know the reason we have such an identity crisis in the world? Because we have one in the church. We're afraid to tell people who we are in Christ. Hallelujah. I just like me when I'm like this. I hope you do too. But Jesus telling his disciples, he said, those 70, he said, when you go out, you take the message that's from me. And when they hear you, they're not only hearing you, but they're hearing me. Glory to God. That's how it works here. And so this morning, I want you to put your faith on not just hearing me, but hearing him. Because I love him enough to let him speak through me. I love him enough to think through my mind and speak through my lips. I love him that much. And I want to love him even more, to let him speak in him even more, think even more through me, and speak even more through me, so that you can hear. Boy, the more we become like him, the more satisfied we are in life. Amen. So, last 2 weeks ago, I started talking about faithfulness and mentioned some things. And I may repeat some things, but you know anymore, I just don't care. I'm not going to give, you know, I remember Brother Hagin, who was one of my mentors in the faith. He said something that really helped me. And he said there are times that he goes, he teaches the message of faith. God raised him up to teach the message of faith. The word of faith. Literally, that was his call. And he, everywhere he went, he pretty much preached on that. But there's only one thing that he preached on more, and they found out, and that was the love of God. And the reason he probably preached more on the love of God than he did the faith of God is because faith works by love. And so we want that faith to work in our lives, but we want to be faithful men and women of God. We don't want to be like the world. We want to be like Christ. You will not find any more faithful example than Jesus Christ. There have been, never will be again, anybody that's as faithful as Jesus Christ is and was while he walked on the face of this earth. Anybody know who Ruth Graham is? Married to Billy Graham. They were married for a long time. She went to heaven shortly before he did. But she made this statement to an individual. They were asking her about her husband. She said, and this is later in probably 4 or 5 years before he passed away or she passed away. I'm not sure of the calendar events of that, but it did happen. But she said about her husband, she said, well, tell us something about your husband that maybe a lot of people don't know. And she said this about her husband, Billy Graham, whom probably is the greatest revivalist ever known to man, save Jesus. She said this about him. She said, I've never met a man that wants to please God as much as my husband does. Wow. We could stop right there and just meditate on that and go home. Never met a man that wants to please God as much as my husband does. So you and I, we have a lot of shoes to fill, but the shoes we want to fill most are the shoes God's called us to walk in. Have you ever made this statement, you know, when you see people going through different things in life, have you ever said, well, I haven't walked in their shoes. So I'm not sure I can answer to that, but I can tell you that I know a Savior that has walked in your shoes, because he was literally had the brunt of all temptation and sin laid on him. So whatever you're going through, he already went through it for you. He knows what you're going through. And all he wants you to know is there's a way through what you're going through. It may be time related. It may not be going quite as quick as you think it should. There are often, because we are in a carnal being, we need to relax some time and just say, hey, listen, if this thing's not transpiring as quickly as I thought, one thing I will do on the other, between now and coming to the end of this thing, I will search, seek, and go after God more than I ever have in my life. I will know him better at the end of this thing. And a lot of us are just saying in our lives, you know, just like even in the stuff that's going on, the sickness and the disease that's just been poured out rampant by evil, wicked men. Even that stuff, people are saying, I just want to get that behind. Listen, it's going to get behind us eventually, and I command it to, and you do now in Jesus' name. But I'm telling you right now, the enemy is not going to relax. Well, what else am I going to do? He's got a plan. And if the enemy has a plan, you and I ought to have a plan. And that's a plan to keep him underfoot. What the enemy has meant for harm, the body of Christ is going to shove it down his throat if we'll walk where God wants us to. It's good preaching, Pastor Wes. You maybe ought to preach to the cross. I think I'll go back this way. The cross is a lot more friendly to us than we think. It's there that we find the way of Christ. What's so important about the cross, Pastor Wes? Well, that's the time that Jesus showed us by example that he, in the midst of huge, heavy turmoil, chose God's way over his, because he's the one that asked the Father, Lord, if it's possible that this cup pass from me, let it be. But if not, so be it done. Jesus chose God's way. That's what we do at the cross. We choose God's way, not ours. In case you haven't noticed, your way's not all that hot. Amen. That's why most of us are here this morning. We met Jesus. I wouldn't be here had I not met Jesus. You wouldn't be here probably had you not met Jesus. If you're here and you haven't met Jesus, well, no, you're in the right place at the right time. I was in church once and the pastor said, you know, it might be, actually it's a traveling evangelist. His name is Brother Ken Krevelovic. Only the Lord could help you remember that name. Assembly of God evangelist in Stockton, Kansas, traveled from California, I believe it was, preached the word of God and called forth not only get born again, get filled with the Holy Ghost. And I still remember the very first words I said in the Spirit, by the Holy Spirit. Si cumulaci veromo cati. And I didn't know for years what that meant. Boy, I'm going through a lot of stuff this morning, but I kind of like it. But for a lot of years, I thought, I would like to know what that means. And one day, a young man had been going to our church. He was an eighth grader at that time. JT is in Isaiah's class, and now he's 23, probably, somewhere in there. And he was an eighth grader, and I had mentioned that, and just kind of like I did in church then, like I am right now. And on the way out, I'm telling everybody, hey, I'm glad you come, and I just wanted to make sure that you gave today. If not, here's the basket. And I didn't do that. And so on the way out, he looked at me and said, Pastor, I think I know what that means. And I said, really? He said, yeah, I do. See, young people can hear from God. He said, yeah, the Lord said those words mean you will remember that day. And boy, I had remembered that day. I've never forgotten it. Still to this day. God just reminds me that he knows what he's doing. And so here we are today. We're in a church service, and this could be life-changing for some people because the Word of God entering in is life-changing. When it comes into your life, it makes you a brand new person inside and then beginning by faith to work that new nature out. Amen. That's what the Apostle Paul prayed in Philippians when he said, or Galatians. He said, I travail in birth until Christ be formed in you, until you give an outward expression of the inner nature. When you come into the kingdom of God, everything is renewed inwardly, spiritually, but you still have to retrain your body. You still have to retain your thinking. And that's why the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 12, said, be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed to the renewing of your mind. And I have not even gotten into my introduction yet. But we have this hidden treasure, Jesus, that lives on the inside of us by the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit and Jesus live on the inside of us. And the Father saying, I like that. He likes us a lot. But one of the things that the Lord's kind of laid on my heart, and I've not always been the most faithful person in the world to God. But I can say since I've been a Christian, since the spring of 1973, that probably 98% of the time, I wanted to be faithful to God. And I just didn't always do it. Sometimes I'd get mad at God because I was foolish enough to blame God for something. It took me a while, but I finally got to the place where I understood that God was not my problem. And he's not your problem. God's your solution. And he always will be. The enemy and his deception, if given to, that's your problem. Not understanding is not a big deal with God because he can help you understand. But sometimes people, they get all upset with God because they don't understand. We had a men's meeting here years ago. We were watching Ed Cole down in the end room there where the, what do you call that last room down there? What is it? Cafe? Cafe? Yeah. Cafe latte. And but we were down there watching a film by Ed Cole. And there was a guy there. First name was John. And John was there. And Ed was talking about becoming a man. And, you know, being a male is just a matter of birth. Becoming a man is a matter of choice. And there's a lot of men that don't really want to be men. None in here, that they're all at the other churches. And but anyhow, he was talking about becoming a new man, and we'd had this man in and out of our church several times, inviting him to men's meeting. He had come, and that particular morning it was kind of different because he just stood up while the deal was still going, and he took two steps and got up, and you know, he walked in front of the projector and kind of, you know, put a shadow across the screen. And on the way out, he just said out loud, "I don't understand this at all." Well, that means one of two things. Either that you choose to remain stupid, because you can choose to be stupid if you want to, or you have been deceived by the enemy, because the very answer that you don't understand was being talked about right there. And the enemy got him up and pulled him out of there. I don't know if he's ever given his heart to Christ, and I hope he has. That's been a lot of years ago. But you know, when you give your heart to Jesus Christ, you should change. We should be different than the world. Amen? We should be a lot different than the world. If you walked up to most people in the world and asked them, do you have a prayer language? They'll go, what? You know, you speak in tongues. You know, well, I wouldn't do that. But they don't understand where we're coming from. And the only one that can give them understanding is the Holy Spirit. He's the one that gives us understanding. Just because I don't know something doesn't mean I give up on God. He's the one that can reveal it to me. He's the one that can show it to me. He's the one that said in John, he said, listen, by the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth is going to show you things to come. That's a promise from God. That's a promise from Jesus manifest, God manifest in the flesh. Jesus telling us in John 16 that you will be able to see into the future because I know the future. I can show you things to come. You may not know everything, but by golly, he wants you to know things that you need to know. Amen. Glory to God. So we're talking about faithfulness. And you know, one of the things that we're asked about is, will, when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith on the earth? I find it interesting that we're asked that question. When the Son of Man returns, will he find faith on earth? Will there be a faithful remnant here? The faithful remnant that we're talking about today, we're talking about a worldwide population of several billion people. It's a lot of people. That's a lot of stubbornness. And probably maybe hundreds of millions of us that are still breathing earth air on this side of heaven. I believe this. I believe that if there were more faithful men than there are now, we'd have less problems in the world that we're dealing with now. But when I'm talking about faithful men, I'm talking about men who've given their heart, their life to Jesus Christ and are not ashamed to live for him. Hallelujah. I've taught prosperity a lot here. I've taught the word of faith quite a bit here, probably more than you get in most churches. And I believe God wants to bless us beyond our imagination. But in a lot of ways, I think we've been going about it wrong. And I listened to a series, or actually I went to the meeting early October. It was Keith Moore's meeting on it. It was called Week of Increase. And listened to five messages, and wrapped up in that entire five days of messages was some truth about faithfulness. Everything was built around faithfulness. I literally, honest to God, I'm saying this honest before God, I just laid that down, and there were some things that were said. I wrote notes. I took notes, and I thought, well, this is really good, and it's stuff that I've practiced, but I haven't practiced it as diligently as I'm going to now, because this was revelation to me. Some good revelation came on. You know, revelation is not something you get from studying deeply. It's something you get from asking the Holy Spirit for. And then when he reveals it to you, he reveals it to a faithful heart. And so that was in early October, if you want, to came back. And I just kind of laid that down, and I didn't even think about it much. And my wife, Debbie, whom, by the way, is going to be here next Sunday. And I think we might try and minister again together. I might let her say something this time. And I'm excited about her coming. She's an awesome lady. Awesomely, awesome wife. But she gave me a book called Faithfulness, and I started reading it, and it just went off in me. I thought, God, this stuff sound like I've heard a lot of this stuff. And I thought, well, I need to share that. I need to share that with my congregation because I know what it did for me. And I think any time a truth can stir you up to be more intense in your walking and going with God, then we all need to do that. And I know it may not affect everybody like it affects me. I don't expect it to. But I do expect it to affect you to the degree that you begin to walk a more faithful life. You may not be at the level that you think you need to be, or I may not be at the level I think I need to be, but I do know I want to press in to be at a higher level. I found this out, and this is the truth, and I'm not just saying this because I've heard this, but I understand it because I've experienced it. The greatest key to increase, the greatest key, bar none, word of faith, speaking the word's important, praying's important, reading the Bible's important, but the greatest key to increase in your life is faithfulness. You cannot become faithful and not see increase in your life. If you become faithful, increase starts to happen. God begins to move on your behalf to increase your life, spirit, soul, body, finances. Because why? Because if you're a faithful person, you are reliable to God. You are dependable to God. He can count on you to do what he asks you to do. I believe this. We should ask the Lord on a regular basis, Lord, what do you want for me? I kind of have an idea what I'd like. But what do you want for me? Well, and it, real honestly, the Lord's going to say to a lot of us, what you're doing is probably not what I want right now. And he's not going to say probably. But if you really want to see increase in your life, then you're going to begin to need to do this. Some people don't even ask God, God, do you like this behavior in me? Or do you think I maybe should stop doing it? And the Lord, a lot of times, me, he'd just say, well, stop. I have, on a frequent basis, as a Christian, acted like the south end of a northbound mule. You figure that out. But we want to literally walk where God wants us to walk. And we should be open enough to God in our faithfulness to him to say, Lord, what do you want me to do? And so many times we're challenged with just simple things. But I've watched over the years, and when I heard this, I started thinking about families that decided that they're going to be faithful. And they've spent an entire generation raising children to be faithful. And I've seen God give increase, not just financially, but in a lot of areas. God loves faithfulness. Everybody say, God loves faithfulness. So therefore, he loves me. You say, well, I'm not so sure. No, you need to be in faith about that. You can change faithfulness in just a moment with a decision. Because God knows the thought and the intent of your heart. So if you really meant that when you said, I'm a faithful person and God loves me, increase is on its way now. Not tomorrow, not the next day, right now. When I decided to go into the ministry years ago, everybody that I knew, Christian brothers and sisters, because I was new in this, parents, everybody tried to talk me out of doing it. I had very few people saying, boy, you need to follow God. All I had a lot of people trying to give me advice to do what the world's, what I should be doing in the world. And not listen, if what you're doing in the world, I believe what we're doing, I believe we're called to do. The stuff that we love, I believe God puts a love in it for us, but we do it as unto the Lord, whatever it is. Amen? I just happen to be called into the ministry. And so nothing apart from that really would float my boat. It just seems like when people ask me, what do you want to do? And I think, well, I've thought about law school. As a matter of fact, I was pre-law, I was pre-med, I was pre-stupid, I was pre-everything. Because God was dealing with me and nothing that I was choosing to do just fit. Sometimes we think, well, I know best what to do. No, listen, God knows best what to do. God is smarter than all of us put together. Just is. You hear people in the world ask this question. Well, how can somebody that old be that smart? Well, and I look back and say, how can anybody be that young and be that stupid? Because when you start thinking you're smarter, and you say, Pastor, what should you do that? No, but I think it. And I figure I'd go ahead and think it and then get forgiveness later. And I think sometimes we think with a pea-sized brain that God created. I don't know if you know this, but that little organ in the top of your head, God created that brain to remember everything. He created you to have supernatural recall. I prayed for that often in test time. And the Lord would often say, you need to put it in first. Don't know if you've ever been there, but Otherwise, it was eeny, meeny, miny, moe, catch a... don't know that I actually did that, but... The greatest key to increase, faithfulness. And maybe since I've been in the ministry, the body of Christ, not this church, but since I've been in the ministry since October of 1977, this is probably the least faithful I've seen the body in my entire ministry. We try to decide, well, do we want to go to church? Why is that even a question? If God places fivefold ministry into the body to help nurture and raise up the body of Christ and raise them up to go out and do the work of the ministry, if he raises them up and he sends a pastor into a community of believers, and that pastor said, Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do as far as church service? Do you want me to have it on this day? He said, let's go with the culture right now. Let's do Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday. And I did that in the beginning when I was pastoring in Ulysses, Kansas. And nobody seemed to mind. I mean, and I would preach 90 minutes every service. Preach. That didn't include the praise and worship. Now if we get to pushing 12 o'clock, people get a little touchy. You know, hey, the Chiefs, Pastor West. Chiefs, Lord, speak Chiefs to his life. Speak it, Lord. How dare we go past 12 o'clock in the church realm? My God, what have we done? What have we done? We have put faithfulness below our feet. Well, what's the weather like, honey? Well, it's blowing about 15 miles an hour. Oh, my goodness. I don't know if I can take the wind. What do you think pastor's going to be preaching today? Oh, it's probably going to be something like faithfulness. And God knows we're faithful. We're just going to stay home to prove it. Have you ever asked God how much he wants you to attend church? And how faithful he wants you to be to it? It's getting quiet in this Pentecostal church. I told the people 2 weeks ago, Tim, that I said, you're going to love me for preaching this stuff. Because I say stuff that it's hard sometimes for a pastor to say. But since I'm still a pastor, I find it's not all that hard to say. Because it's the truth. I got to give you kudos. Not that I'm comparing, but I preached this same message on a Sunday, last Sunday, at Light of the World. And I told you that when I preached it 2 weeks ago, this Sunday, that our adult attendance doubled. I don't know what it was like Wednesday, if he backslid between. But theirs didn't. Light of the World didn't double. So I'm going to take the home of this to say, listen, our church is bigger than your church. It takes discipline to walk in your faithfulness. It takes faith to be faithful. You call those things that be not as though they are to be faithful. And I don't know why this is, but the most faithful people I've met are the people who are busiest out in the world. And that's because they know how to look at a calendar. They know how to schedule things. But my wife, Debbie, has been really good for me because sometimes looking at schedules out, she is the post-it queen. And she's the double it down in a calendar book. So she asked me one day, said, Wes, would you like to sit down and just schedule in stuff? You know, we've got a lot going on. She's got 19 grandchildren. I got 20. And we each have one on the way. Great grandchild. One, hers is great, mine's great, great. Of course it would be. And so we're doing the calendar, and she says to me, she says, how do you get anywhere? I said, I just wing it. And winging it, you know, doesn't work usually. So I got on and I started putting stuff in, and one of my daughters asked me, said, can you do this? And I said, yeah, I got it covered. And I said, let me check my schedule. And so thank God I checked it. Because I would have I would have really rubbed my wife the wrong way. Because we had filled that day in already. And so I said, I can't do it. So I'm just saying this. We can determine, if you're your own boss, what's keeping you from being in church? And if you get a job now, they're so hungry for people to be employed. You could go in there and they're going to hire you part-time. Say, listen, you can hire me part-time, but Wednesday nights, I do church. Sunday mornings, I do church. If you want to work me Sunday afternoon, help yourself. If you want to work me a little bit before Wednesday night, but I'm going to church. And they'll say, well, okay, we'll work with you. You kind of got them in between a rock and a hard place. Don't use it as an excuse not to come. I want to talk to the cross a little bit more. Here we go. I got to get one scripture in. How many think that'd be good? Luke chapter 16. I did start out with the scripture. Remember Luke 10:16. I want you to understand that a lot of the things I say today, I believe would be the same thing Jesus would say. I have to believe that. And if I didn't believe that, I'd just shut up and go home. All right, here we go. This is New Living Translation, starting in verse 10 in Luke 16. If you are faithful in little things, you will be faithful in large ones. But if you are dishonest in little things, you won't be honest with greater responsibilities. And if you are untrustworthy about worldly wealth, who will trust you with the true riches of heaven? And if you're not faithful with other people's things, why should you be trusted with things of your own? No one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other, and you will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money. Now, of course, most pastors would love to take this as a moment to talk about tithing. But you say, how can I be a person that's not enslaved to money? Become a tither. Well, Pastor, how do I know that I can afford to tithe when you start doing it? If you can't be faithful over money, what makes you think you're going to have? And a lot of people say in the body of Christ, well, we don't receive offerings at our church because we think people, the right arm doesn't need to know what the left arm is doing. Well, that's about giving alms. It's not about bringing your tithe to the altar. Giving alms, you don't go out and brag about helping the poor. You walk up to somebody down and out and slip them some money and go on. Tell them God loves them. Go on. But the Bible says bring our tithes and offerings to the storehouse. Bring them. You bring them. If you bring them, that means they've been brung. Is that a word? I don't know. Is now? Well, what does tithing have to do with anything? It shows you that you decided to be faithful to God, who said, bring your tithes, all of them, to the storehouse. Where's that? Wherever God tells you to put it. I'd like to say here because this is a good place to put it, but I'm just saying, again, have you ever thought about asking God? Well, Lord, I can't afford to tithe. You can't afford not to. Well, once you learn God to take care of you, how many of you have ever heard my story? Everybody say, what's the story? This is all about me and my dumb and dumber moments with finances. I loved credit cards. I loved it until I realized that they charge you exorbitant principles of interest if you don't pay them quickly. But and there were some reasons, and I'm not trying to make light of this because there may be somebody in this same position, but I had $50,000 of credit debt, unsecured. $50,000. It was suffocating me. My kids will tell you there was a season in our house when the phone rang, I wouldn't answer it. They'd say, Dad, why don't you answer the phone? Because I know who's on the other end. I did that as a minister. I just didn't have an answer for him. And if it weighed on me. It weighed on me when I went to bed. It weighed on me when I got up. When I got up in the middle of the night to go to the restroom, it was just there. It would not go away. It just stayed there. And I started saying to God, God, I've been faithful. I've been doing what you want me to do. And then I started realizing a lot of the stuff I was in, it was my own choice. Because there were several times I heard the Lord say, don't do that concerning that kind of debt. And so I finally got tired of it and I said, Lord, from this day forward, I'll not use another credit card to extend debt. And every extra bit of money that comes in, I will pay it on debt. But one thing I will not do, I won't quit tithing and sowing seed. That's a faithful child of God. You say you're touting your horn? Yes, I am. Because I know the results. I made that decision along with my wife, Sandy. She was here and she, a lot of the stuff we did was medical, travel and just stuff. I mean, use that excuse, but even then, not a good excuse. There's never an excuse for going into oppressive debt. Sucks the life out of you. And I said, Lord, I'm telling you, Lord, I promise you, every extra dollar that comes in, I'm paying it on debt. I literally had people call me. After that happened, I had people call me and say this, Wes, are you believing God for some money? I said, yeah, I am, and I know right where it's going. So when the Lord spoke to me and told me to send you $2,000, I said, glory be to God, sender. And I was faithful with it. See, a faithful man doesn't lie. Most of all to God. You know, you're not going to get through something and God go, whoa, he got by with that one. I just didn't see that coming. He knows the thought and the intent of your heart. In a year and a half. Everybody say year and a half. That's 18 months. 18 months. I paid off $50,000 of credit card debt. Ask me how much I have now. Ask me if my house is paid for. So there's something about making a decision to do the faithful thing that brings increase. Did you hear what I just said? If you're faithful, and you know, money is probably the lowest thing on the totem pole, if you will, of faithfulness. But it's the thing that probably most people have the toughest time with. I had a guy that comes and does financial planning when we first moved to Hayes, and I showed him what I was making. And they take all those numbers and they run them through their software and they come back and say, well, here's how much you can save and la la la, you know, show it and they'll come back with a little pamphlet, you know, about 10 pages or so of what you can do and what. He came back with one page with me. And he asked a question and this, he says, how are you getting by? I said, what do you mean? He said, there's not enough here for you to get by. I said, yeah, but I know Jesus. I know him and he'll, I learned a long time ago that you could live on Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. That scripture never runs out. I practice it. I've had creditors call me. One guy, and I'm saying this for people that are new here, but I had a Ford pickup. It's a great big old long bed truck, and I pulled a fifth wheel trailer with it and got behind on some payments. And this guy would call me just over and over and over and over again. And he'd say, Bishop Oakley, can I count on you? I said, listen, all I can tell you is what Philippians 4:19 says. And at first he didn't know it. And I'd say, but my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ. You really did? Yes, I did. That's the only answer I had. Either that word works or it doesn't. So that happened over and over again for some time. And he called me up. Wes, this is so-and-so. He said, just wondering if we could get a payment from you. I said, well, all I can tell you is what Philippians 4:19 says. Philippians 4:19 says, but my God shall supply. And that happened over and over again. And one day, everybody said one day, I answered the phone and it was him. He said, Wes, I'm asking if there's any way that you can make some payments to get caught up. We're 4 behind. Which it might as well have been 15 behind. And I said, well, all I can tell you is, I know. No, I'm just asking you, when God gets it to you, can we count on it? That's what he said. I said, absolutely. That day, everybody say that day, I went to the post office and I had a check in the mail for some money that covered all 4 payments. Isn't it amazing? Just that day, after all that stuff, and I said, Lord, you could have done that early on, but he said, now you get it. Sometimes we think God ought to be easy on us, but he's really teaching us to really just be a little bit tough. Because the world's come to suck the life out of you, and God's come to breathe life into you. But you got to get to where you can depend on him. So becoming faithful in the little things. Become faithful as a tither. Well, you know, first church up here, they don't really talk about tithing and said it's Old Testament. Well, it's funny that Jesus talks about it in the New Testament and tells us not to leave it undone. Yeah, but Pastor, I can't afford to tithe. Again, I'm going to tell you, you can't afford not to. Either God will keep his word or he won't. And he will keep his word. Let me read that same passage of scripture I just read. Are you guys okay with this? You still like me? That was pretty weak. Thank you, Brandon. Not even my son said amen. Wes, you with me? Attaboy. Happy birthday, by the way. I like your tattoo. Woo-wee. Boy, I would have kicked your dad's butt. He had done that. But anyhow. Actually, not when he turned 18. I wouldn't. Just a little stuff going on. I like my family. Here we go. Luke 16:10-13. The Passion Translation. So it won't be up on the screen. You just need to listen to me. The one who faithfully manages the little he has been given will be promoted and trusted with greater responsibilities. But those who cheat with the little they have been given will not be considered trustworthy to receive more. If you have not handled the riches of this world with integrity, why should you be trusted with the eternal treasures of the spiritual world? And if you've not proven yourself faithful with what belongs to another, why should you be given wealth of your own? It is impossible, everybody say impossible, for a person to serve two masters at the same time. You will be forced to love one and reject the other. One master will be despised and the other will have your loyal devotion. Your choice between God and the wealth of this world is no different. You must enthusiastically love one and definitively reject the other. Now, the Lord in the parable of the talents and the parable of stewardship, and I'm not going to have time to get into this because it takes a little bit longer because it's 11:45. But here's the thing. When we get to heaven, and I think I made this statement last time, 2 weeks ago. Righteousness does not come by works, but rewards do. So, the works that you do out and because of righteousness here on this earth, you will be rewarded both here and in heaven for those righteous works. They don't save you, but you can be blessed from works that are spawned out of your righteous faith. So that's why you typically learn to be good to one another. To be kind to one another. to help him who is down and out. There's a guy in a homeless man in Topeka that camps out by the church a lot, sleeps up under the overhang when the weather's bad and stuff. And I'd go by and I'd say hi to him, talk to him, and kind of a neat guy. The church and ministry in Topeka that's always out protesting against homosexuality and very hate-filled stuff, they picket our church there. And this guy that sleeps under our overhang when the weather's bad, his name is Thomas, and we drove in the other day, and he was out there with a sign that says, "Love trumps hate." I said, "Look at Thomas out there. He's protesting for us. Not even any of our people out there protesting, but Thomas, who's sleeping under our canopy, is." But for several months, I walked around. As a matter of fact, a couple times stepped in the door, I had to unlock it and step around him where he was laying. I didn't make him move, he was sleeping. I was nice. He's a nice guy. And I heard the Lord say, "Do you know his name?" I said, "No." He said, "Why don't you ask him?" I didn't have an answer. Except maybe I was being a bit insensitive. So I found out what his name was, because that way I can address him. And it's going to be just talk to him about, because everybody has a story. There's a reason why he's there. He may be happy with it, but he might be happier to find out God has a whole lot more planned for him. All I'm saying is, we need to do what God wants us to do in every area of our life. And here's the key to faithfulness. It really is all about the heart. Everything. It's about your heart. The condition of your heart. Well, Pastor West, I'd go to church, but I got ticked off. Yeah, well, you can be this, you can start your own ticked off ministry if you want. Because everybody's had that opportunity. But what if God called you to walk in love when you got ticked off? What if God asked you to love your wife when you feel like she's just kind of ticked you off a little? She deserves what I'm about to say. Now, I'm telling you, in those moments, that's a good time to just really bite your tongue. And this is not giving anybody, because when we get to heaven, guys and girls, gals, men, when we get to heaven, we are going to be rewarded differently. We all will receive the crown of glory, crown of righteousness. We'll get that. But the works that we did here on earth will be rewarded accordingly. It won't be equal in heaven, but in heaven you won't care. There's no selfishness, envy, or any of it. Well, good for you. That house is 17 times bigger than mine. You won't think that way. You just think that's big enough for both of us. Why? I'm not even living in my little shanty. When we get to heaven, we will be rewarded there for our works here. We're not saved by those works, but bless God, out of that righteousness, we do works. That makes sense? So with your Heavenly Father, it's all about your heart, the condition of your heart. Are the things of God, and here's where faithfulness goes, are the things of God more important to you than anything else? That's a faithful heart. And that's where we're headed. What excuse do you use for not being faithful? Hard question. That's tough. But the Lord, as much as said, he said in Psalms 12, he said in the Amplified 12:1, he says, "For principled and godly people are here no more. Faithfulness and the faithful vanish from among the sons of men." So faithful men are not increasing in our day. They're decreasing. We do not want to be one of those people that are losing their faithfulness. We want to be faithful on this side of heaven, so that when we enter in through the gates, we'll hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You are the bomb before God. You know, you're something else. Good for you." Let's take a vote. How many of you want me standing by the door shaking hands? I made it through the first page. Proverbs 26, and I will. Most men proclaim each his own goodness. Well, I've been good. I've worked hard. I've done good things. But who can find a faithful man? You can talk about how good you are, but who can find a faithful man? Wouldn't it be good to have it said of you that that person is faithful? You can count on them. They're dependable. They do what you ask them to do. Well, I'd go to church more, Pastor, but you know, I just get tired during the week, and I'm tired. And so Sunday morning's just the morning I just decide I'm going to sleep in. Well, see, I've got revelation for you. You know, you can take a nap in the afternoon. You say, "Pastor, that's kind of hard." Well, it may be kind of hard, but sometimes you may get an answer for what you're going through that Sunday morning. And it's usually hard to get when you're not here. Thus saith the Lord, your servant Wes is right. Here's what a faithful man does, and I will quit with this. So I'm glad some of you thought that was a little funny. A faithful man never insists on doing it his way. He always insists on doing it God's way. Many people don't even bother to ask. Amen. So, you know, this is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. You know, I'm thankful for this. I'm thankful some man got up years ago, a man by the name of Ken Grebelovic in Stockton, Kansas, a little Assembly of God church there, and asked people if they wanted to give their heart to the Lord. And I said, yeah, I would. I was his junior high teacher, needed Jesus more than I realized. And it absolutely changed my life. That was in the spring of 1973, March of 1973. And I've been through, had some challenges in my life. But there's nobody I'd rather be with right now than my Lord. Pure and simple. And it gets that way more and more all the time. That's how a faithful person thinks. And I want to think that way. That doesn't mean all the fun stops. I mean, we have the joy in the Lord. You know, when you begin to do things the way God wants you to, the Bible says you can enter into some joy. Amen. Hallelujah. Every head bowed, every eye closed. We're going to challenge you a little bit with some stuff here. If you're here this morning and you know you need to get your heart right with God, you've had opportunity after opportunity, but you never really have given yourself to it, this would be a great day to do it. And if you have done that, but you're not really living the faithful life, if somebody came up and said, "Are you faithful to the things of God right now?" Could you say absolutely, unequivocally, yes? Then if you can do that, so be it. But if you can't, maybe it's a good day to make the decision to let that increase. Amen? And then if you need to have yourself filled with the Holy Spirit, you've been born again, you know Jesus, but you need to be filled or refreshed with the Holy Spirit. And if any of those three areas involves you, I want you just real courageously, just raise your hand and say, that would be me. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Wow. Hallelujah. It's always good to be just transparent before God. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Well, the Lord's good. Stronghold in the day of trouble knows those who trust in Him. So you're making a decision today to open your heart to Jesus. Is that what you raised your hand for? Have you done that before? Mm-hmm. Have you felt like it took before? So you just kind of want to reaffirming your faith in Him? Ready to live for Him?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
I used to go to church every week with my brother, and I just can do it alone. And
so you're ready to come back?
Yes, that's why I'm here.
Hi, I'm Wes.
Hi, nice to meet you.
And God loves you.
Thank you.
Your past is not held against you. It's been washed by the blood. Amen.
Amen.
Say this with me. Today, Lord.
Today, Lord.
Jesus, you are welcome.
Jesus, you are welcome.
Come into my life.
Come into my life.
And I allow. You to do whatever you want.
You to do whatever you want.
With my life.
With my life.
Today, I choose to be all in.
Today, I choose to be all in.
Because I'm forgiven.
Because I'm forgiven.
And Jesus' blood.
And Jesus' blood.
Has washed me clean.
Has washed me clean.
I now have the favor of God. I have the favor of God.
I now have the favor of God.
And I am going to serve God.
And I'm going to serve God.
With all my heart.
With all my heart.
With all my soul.
With all my soul.
And all my strength.
And all my strength.
Today.
Today.
Heaven. Heaven becomes my home. And my future.
Today, heaven becomes my home and my future.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Raise your hands and say, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. You rejoice with Him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We got some mini books back there on the new birth, Vicki. Get him some of that, at least that one. Now, the rest of it, we're going to pray. All of us, stand with me. That was worth coming for. What's your name? Jeremy. Oh, dear God, you do need prayer. Well, Jeremy, you stay with God and your life will never be the same. So today, you say this with me, those of you that, even if you didn't respond, let's all say it with those that did. Father, today, you're a wonderful Father. You care about us. And you see this church, the people in this church, with the eye of faith. And you see each of us as faithful. And we choose today to walk in that faithfulness. That you have your way in us, in all that we do, all that we say. And today, Father, I thank you for helping me be that faithful person. That I continue to look to you, who is the author and the finisher of my faith. And I'm asking you to fill me fresh with your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, come into me now. I receive your infilling and I receive my prayer language. In Jesus' name, I thank you for it. And all the people agreed with that said, amen. And amen. Hallelujah. I remember the first thing I said, remember, Siku Malachi Vedomo Kati. And the Lord said, you will remember this day. I'm telling you, you people that open your heart to Jesus today and to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you will remember this day. Amen. Well, it's been a good day, and it's only 12 after 3. Somewhere. You guys have a great afternoon. God bless you. Love you. God loves you. Go away from here rejoicing.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.